This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
6:11 on this Thursday morning from WSMI, WSMI FM 106, part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by the McAdams Millwright Service.
Farmers know how important it is to have grain equipment functioning properly. In addition to making sure an elevator is always in tip-top shape, no matter the job, make sure your first and only call is to McAdams Millwright Service. McAdams serves local farmers looking to move their product, as well as large grain facilities looking to improve or upgrade their grain handling ability in order to stay ahead. Whatever the size of your project, call McAdams Millwright Service in Greenfield today at 217-248-6879.
Now at part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. Your grain futures yesterday, Wednesday, off the Chicago Board of Trade had corn 4 to 13 cents lower, soybeans 14 to 18 cents higher, and wheat 3 to 6 cents lower on Wednesday. First off, corn futures ended the wobble back Wednesday in the red, though prices have recovered from their double-digit losses. July corn only closed 13 and 3 quarter cents weaker, whereas new crop futures were only 3.5 to 4 and a quarter cents lower. Crop progress data from the Tuesday afternoon report had the initial 21-22 corn crop at a 76% good excellent rating. And the initial yield and production estimate for this year's corn crop from Commodity View shows a 14.43 billion bushel crop off of a 173 bushel per acre average yield. That's one bushel per acre above their initial forecast for last season, but down 6 from their final estimate. State yield ranges from 192.5 bushels per acre in Iowa to 129 bushels per acre in North Carolina. Export data out of Brazil showed just 13,900 metric tons of corn were shipped in May. That was roughly half of what was exported in May of last year, as May is typically a lighter month while exporters wait on the second crop. Soybeans closed the Monday session with gains of at least 14 cents. New crop futures added 16 to 18 cents to the upside. Soybean meal prices closed $3.80 to $4.70 a ton weaker. Soybean oil futures ended midday gains to end their session at least $2.57 higher. National Ag Statistics data on Tuesday after the close showed soybean planting progressed 9% during the week that ended on Sunday, May 30th, taking the total to 84%. The five-year average is 67%. Emergence was 20 points ahead of the average pace, which is 62%. Freeze damage in North Dakota led to some local reports of replants. Traders and analysts will get their first look at the National Ag Statistics Service 21-22 soybean conditions rating as part of next Monday's update. The initial yield and production estimates for Commodity View on soybeans shows a 4.27 billion bushel bean crop this fall off of a 49.3 bushel per acre average yield. That's about a half bushel per acre above their initial forecast for last year, but it's also down a half bushel from their final estimate last year. State yield forecasts range from 35 bushels per acre in North Dakota to 57.5 bushels per acre in Nebraska. Brazilian trade data for May showed a May record of 16.4 million metric tons of soybean exported. That's a jump of 16% from last year. And after trading through midday with double-digit losses, winter wheat futures rallied back on Wednesday. Chicago Board of Trade futures ended the session 2.25 to 6 cents lower. Kansas City hard red wheat was down by a penny and a quarter to 3.25 cents at the close. Minneapolis wheat extended their gains, closing 9.75 to 13 cents higher. The National Ag Statistics Service showed the winter wheat crop at 79% headed as of Sunday, May 30th. That's a percentage point above normal. Conditions were also a percentage point higher to 48% good to excellent. Harvest in Texas of wheat progressed only 6 percentage points through the rainy week to 18% complete. The five-year average is to be 24% completed by the 30th of May. Harvest also began last week in Oklahoma with only 1% of the crop cut as of May 30th. The Oklahoma harvest at this time is normally 3% complete. And Sovcom in Russia estimates that Russian wheat exports will reach 36.6 million metric tons for 21-22, which would be down from last year's 37.7 million metric tons. Rabobank forecasts that Australian winter grain areas are to expand 2% for 21-22 to 22.93 million hectares. So recapping your mostly lower grain futures from yesterday, Wednesday, off the Chicago Board of Trade. Corn in the old crop July down by 13 and three quarters to 675. December new crop corn down 4 1/4, 572 and three quarters. July beans on Wednesday gained 14 cents in the old crop, 1562 and a half. November new crop up by 16 and three quarters, 1413 and three quarters. July wheat in Chicago down 6, 687 and a half. September wheat down 4 3/4, 692 and a half. December wheat down 3 1/4 at $7 even. July oats down 0.75 at 3.48. September oats down 2 1/4, 3.85 1/2. July soybean meal down 4.70 at 3.94 per ton. August soybean meal down 4.20, 3.95.30. And finally, your July soybean oil had a gain of $2.99 to 70.38. August bean oil up 2.94 at 66.69. Now we'll move on and take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the latest cash grain report.
This is Wednesday's reported grain price and trend prepared for the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Wednesday afternoon as soybeans found strength in rising soybean oil prices. In northern Westmoreland country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 14 to 17 cents at 673 to 702. Soybean bids are up 11 to 17 cents at 1536 to 1567. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 14 cents at 666 to 705. Soybean bids are up 14 cents at 1553 to 1599. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were down 14 to 26 cents at 680 to 720. Soybean bids were mostly 14 to 17 cents higher at 1547 to 1598. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were up 17 to 43 cents at 1565 to 1618. Basis is up 3 to 29 at 20 over to 55 over the July. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were down 14 to 19 cents, 675 to 715. What basis steady to down 5 at option to 40 over the July. Illinois River barge floating elevated quarter to produce corn bids 14 cents lower at 705 to 712. With basis unchanged at 30 over to 37 over the July. Soybeans ended 9 to 14 cents higher at 1564 to 1583, with basis steady to down 5 at 1 over to 20 over the July. New crop wheat prices are down 6 cents at 656 to 667, with basis steady at 3221 under the July. East St. Louis barge floating commodity place their producer corn bids down 14 to 19 cents. 726 to 727. These elevators raise their soybean prices 14 cents. Quotations at 1593 to 1594. Soft wheat closed down 6 cents at $7 to 701. And Milo ended the day mix at 729 to 730. Contract bids producers for October, November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 538 to 563. Soybeans at 1369 to 1394. And in the central part of the state, corn for October, November delivery at 541 to 561. Soybeans at 1384 to 1402. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October, November delivery at 538 to 592. Soybeans at 1374 to 1431. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on now to your livestock numbers from yesterday, Wednesday, off the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Your live cattle and feeder cattle futures were anywhere from $1 to $3 higher. Your hogs in the front months were $37 to $1.17 lower, but October through May in the hogs of next year were 7 cents to 50 cents higher on the Board of Trade from yesterday. First off, June fat cattle rallied $3.57 Wednesday ahead of the options expiration coming up on Friday and next week delivery. The rest of the complex was also stronger Wednesday, gaining $1 to $2.65. The FCE will be hosting a special Thursday auction on tomorrow morning. There were also three sales on the Wednesday FCE auction where 1,255 head of the 11,159 listed and sold from a range of 119 to 119.5. Most feedlots were asking anywhere from 118 to 119. Cash sales outside of the FCE auction were from 118 to 120 on Wednesday. Feeder cattle closed the day yesterday with $1.90 to $3.17 gain, and the Mercantile Exchange's feeder cattle index was at 136.46 on the 31st of May, back on Monday. That's up by 21 cents. USDA also quoted wholesale box beef prices continued to climb on Wednesday. The choice to select spread was at $28.28 after choice boxes were bumped by a $5.60 gain, selects $5.43 higher. Slaughter was again affected by the JBS data breach, as the Wednesday estimated slaughter was only 105,000 head. Lean hog futures into the Wednesday session of the short week mixed. Nearby futures were down 37 cents to $1.17, while the deferreds gained 7 to 50 cents. USDA's national average base hog price was down by 27 cents Wednesday afternoon to 108.65. The Mercantile Exchange's lean hog index was at 113.54 on Monday, another dime higher. Pork cutout futures closed mostly lower with a $1.05 loss in the July contracts Wednesday. USDA's national pork carcass cutout value was reported at $129.59 a hundredweight in the afternoon report, a gain of $2.47. Bellies were up 6.18 to their highest since early April at 192.33. The USDA estimate for hog slaughter on Wednesday was at 439,000 head. Week-to-date slaughter trails last week by 619,000 head thanks to the JBS issue and the Monday Memorial Day holiday. So recapping your sharply higher cattle numbers and your lower hog numbers, at least in the front months, your June fat cattle had a $3.57 gain on Wednesday to 117.12. August fat cattle up 265, 119.25. October fat cattle up $1.97 at 124.90. August feeders up 317 at 152.32. September feeders up 282 at 154.80 on Wednesday. October feeders up 240, 156.50. Finally, lean hogs in June were 37 cents lower at 118.25. July hogs down $1.17, 118.47. August lean hogs down 77 cents at 116.80. October and the rest through May of next year had gains of 7 to 50 cents in a range of 58.37 to 94.57. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Wednesday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 27 cents lower in a range of 96.94 to 117, with the weighted average carcass price of 108.65. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices were steady, with moderate demand for heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at $38 to $44, 4 to 5 weight at $41 to $46, 5 to 6 weight at $44 to $49, and over 600 pounds at $46 to $52. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrels and gilts at the country buying points were steady, with moderate to good demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $71 to $75. Packer receipts for barrels and gilts totaled $18,169. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at $122.50 and on a dress basis at $190 to $193. Heifers on a live basis traded at $122.50 and on a dress basis at $190 to $192. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 344 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $129.59, which was $2.47 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $3.40.16, which was $5.60 higher. Select carcasses at $3.11.38, which was $5.43 higher. for the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection. Cattle slaughter was estimated at 105,000 compared to 120,000 last week and 114,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter estimated at 439,000 compared to 483,000 last week and 426,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Katie Lemonager with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show on this Thursday morning, brought to you by the McAdams Millwright Service. It's 626, radar showing no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area at this time. This check of radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company. One of the higher risk aspects of farming is crop protection application. With label changes, regulations, equipment maintenance, and drift management, it's a lot of risk. And a great way to manage it is to rely on your local FS and FS crop applicators. They constantly train to keep up with the latest label changes, regulations, and best practices so your crop is protected and risk reduced. Contact your M&M Service Company crop specialist to learn more about their custom application programs. It's one more way FS is bringing you what's next. Sunny skies for your Thursday, highs in the low 80s with light north winds. Clear skies tonight, lows will be in the low 60s, and for tomorrow, Friday, sunny skies, highs in the mid-80s. For Saturday through Monday, sunny skies with a chance of showers on Monday, low temperatures in the low 70s, highs in the mid-80s, partly cloudy skies at the Weather Center. Right now we have a temperature of 61 degrees. This check of radar weather brought to you this morning by the M&M Service Company. Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, Auburn, and Jerseyville. And by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value.
Farm Bureau members can save big with our new membership benefit platform. Whether you're traveling the country or staying local, Montgomery County Farm Bureau provides offers and discounts at home or on the go. Visit the following local retailers to take advantage: Nelson Audiology, Sloan Implement Company, Diamonds and Dogs, McKay Napa, Seavers Equipment Company, Indian Springs Golf Club, O'Reilly Auto Parts, Victory Lane Ford, and more. Join today and gain access to thousands of discounts.
Mowing season is upon us, and Seavers Equipment is ready to assist you in the search and purchase of the right turf management equipment. From commercial-grade mowing platforms and zero turns to traditional push mowers. From quality brands like Exmark, Kubota, Ferris, Hustler, and Cub Cadet. Seavers has them in stock and ready to go. With attractive incentives and financing options, contact your Seavers rep today or meet one at one of the seven Seavers locations. Details at SeaversEquipment.com.
And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thanks again, Randy. Now here for Ag News on your Thursday morning. This week's ransomware attack on JBS, the world's largest meat supplier, has refocused agriculture's attention on cybersecurity and again raised key economic issues for the ag and food industry. USDA has contacted several major meat processors after the cyber attack that temporarily shut down several JBS plants. The FBI is investigating, and President Biden is launching a rapid strategic review. Food production is considered a national security issue, and as COVID-19 showed dramatically, an economic issue, according to American Farm Bureau economist Veronica Nye.
When you're looking at JBS, which processes about 23% of the beef in the United States, when they go down, it's felt pretty immediately.
As the JBS hack showed.
USDA did an estimate that there was about a 20% decline in cattle slaughter versus the week before, and that's pretty close to the JBS market share.
Nye also says agriculture is doing all it can to head off further damage from cyber attacks.
This is obviously an issue that's affecting not just ag, but the economy at large as we've become more technology dependent. So this is certainly something Congress will weigh in on, the administration will weigh in on, and we'll be there at the table as well as our other ag partners.
The Washington Post reports food processing has been a target for ransomware attacks for months. Quoting an intelligence analyst at one cyber firm, the Post reports that at least 40 attacks have been publicly reported over the last year. The latest extortion attempt follows that against the Colonial Pipeline that disrupted gas distribution on the eastern coast and is also feared coming from a Russia-linked criminal group. In other national and international livestock news, the World Pork Expo will be making its official return to the Iowa State Fairgrounds in Des Moines next week, June 9th through 11th. The National Pork Producers Council presents the expo, and this year will mark the 33rd annual event. Thousands of producers and industry professionals will gather to learn about the latest technology innovation and enjoy some free pork and much more. "We're so excited to gather for the first time since 2018, said NPPC President Jen Sorensen. "This year's expo has been outstanding lineups of seminars, networking opportunities, and more that aren't to be missed. The trade show will feature over 700 vendor booths and span more than 30,000 square feet. Companies from North America and around the world will be presenting products and services during the event. The expo will feature 19 educational sessions, including 13 business seminars, to inform attendees about ecosystems, new production systems, climate neutrality, and more. 6 Pork Academy seminars will give producers a chance to learn more about nutrition, sustainability, data collection, and more. Attendees who missed the chance to register online can register on site at the event by going to the Animal Learning Center. Moving on now into the latest grain news for your Thursday, Barchart announced its initial 2021 yield and production forecast for U.S. corn and beans, which both show a downside risk to the USDA's projected numbers from its May WASDE report. The company now says the end-of-season U.S. corn production is forecast at 14.5 billion bushel, with a yield of 173.5 bushel per acre. That's compared to the USDA production forecast at 15 billion bushel and 179.5 bushels per acre yield. Barchart's end-of-season soybean production forecast is 4.3 billion bushel with a yield of 49.5 bushel an acre. That's compared to the USDA production forecast of 4.4 billion bushel and a yield of 50.8 bushel per acre. A statement from the company says our initial 2021 forecast suggests potential downside for both corn and bean production relative to the USDA's numbers, and we're happy to help provide insight like this to the public. The company releases yield and production forecasts on the first Thursday of every month during the growing season. The U.S. soybean industry is continuing to drive demand through innovation for soybean farmers and end users. With funding and support from the Soy Checkoff, the Missouri Soybean Merchandising Council is leading the effort to build momentum for Soyleic, a non-GMO soybean variety containing high oleic trait technology. This variety will give farmers a chance to meet end users' high oleic oil needs for specific markets. Soyleic is the latest example of the value the Checkoff brings to soybean farmers by providing research funding investments that result in innovations farmers can put to work right now to maximize profit opportunity, according to Megan Kaiser, USB Treasurer. The reliability that U.S. soybean farmers provide can meet the end user's demand, expand and strengthen market shares in the foods industry, and diversify their acreage, furthering profitability on their farm. Soyleic seeds are going into about 40,000 acres across 14 states from Georgia to Minnesota during the 21 growing season. A new website, soyleic.com, is now available for more information for farmers, researchers, chefs, and health-conscious consumers. High oleic soybean oil provides increased functionality and contains zero trans fat. It creates nutritional food for humans and feeds for animal diets, while offering a diversified and value-added planting option for farmers. Again, that website is soyleic.com. And in other general ag news, the latest federal data shows that the farmer's share of the average U.S. food dollar increased slightly. The USDA's Economic Research Service tracks yearly spending by American consumers on food, as well as how much of that dollar is captured by each part of the food supply chain. The agency recently released data for 2019 showing that food service industry continues to claim a growing part of the average food dollar, increasing 3% to 38.5 cents in 2019. The farm production was the only other part of the food chain that saw its share of the food dollar increase, but that increase wasn't a very large one. WisconsinFarmer.com says the farmer's share of the food dollar rose from a 27-year low of 7.4 cents in 2018 to 7.6 cents the following year. Paul Mitchell, director of the Rink Agribusiness Institute at the University of Wisconsin, says he was surprised by the slight increase after years of decline. I think part of it was the food service side got saturated, he said. It couldn't get any bigger, and the farmer's share got so low that it had to go up. Once you've hit rock bottom, there's nowhere to go but back up. And another National Ag News here on a Thursday. May has come and gone, but that doesn't mean the issue of mental health is done for another year. The farming community used May, which is National Mental Health Awareness Month, to highlight the growing challenges of mental health struggles in farming communities. Josie Rudolphi with the University of Illinois says the frequency of anxiety and depression is higher among the agricultural community than the non-farming community.
Depending on the study, the prevalence of depression has ranged from 6 to 50% among agricultural producers, whereas in the general population, we see the prevalence of depression at about 7%. And we talk about anxiety, we see very similar statistics.
Rudolphi says there are many pressures impacting today's farmer, from personal finances, global economic issues such as trade, time pressure, and not to mention interpersonal relationships on and off of the farm. She adds that as friends and family, it's important to watch for a change in behavior.
And if we notice someone's not sleeping like they usually do, and they're not eating like they usually do, or they become easily irritated, and typically they're much more patient, or they just kind of constantly seem to be upset, that's a really great time to ask a couple of questions. And we can do that out of concern. And some people might say, well, is it my business? And I would say, if this is your friend or your family member, if this is somebody you care about, it is absolutely your business.
Rudolphi adds that it's vital for the farming community to remove the stigma of mental health and asking for help. She added a recent study shows as many as 31% of rural adults have personally sought for help of a mental health condition, and 24% have had a family member who has sought care for a mental health condition. The month of June is National Dairy Month, and it's the time of year where all dairy is celebrated, from the hard-working dairy farmers to the cows to the great-tasting milk, cheese, yogurt, ice cream, and butter they provide for us. But if you've gone to the dairy aisle recently at your local grocery store, you know it's literally exploding with choices, everything from new milk flavors to lactose-free milk and alternative plant-based beverages disguised as milk. It can be a very confusing trip to the store. But here to give us a break and the real deal, to encourage us to take the Dare to Compare challenge, and also to help us celebrate June Dairy Month, is Jill Williams, registered dietitian and nutrition educator with the St. Louis District Dairy Council. First off, Jill tells us about June Dairy Month and why we should be celebrating.
June Dairy Month, for people that are wondering, it started as National Milk Month in 1937, and it was started to promote milk consumption and stabilize the dairy demand during the summer months. So in the summer, the cows graze on the green pastures, which, you know, we don't really have that green grass for them to graze on the rest of the year, but that makes them produce more milk. So it originally ran from June 10th to July 10th, and then in 1939, the name was officially changed to June Dairy Month. And now it's developed into an annual celebration and tradition to really help acknowledge the contributions that dairy farmers have made to their communities and around the world. So just showing that appreciation and love for our dairy farmers. And it's also a great time to remind consumers that milk, cheese, and yogurt really play an important role in a healthy diet.
And Jill goes on to explain those health benefits.
Well, milk and other dairy foods fuel our overall wellness, and they help our bodies thrive with their naturally occurring nutrition. Including dairy as a part of your overall healthy diet can help reduce the risk of chronic diseases. Research is showing that eating dairy foods and drinking milk is associated with a lower risk for type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease, reduced blood pressure, neutral to lower levels of inflammation, and improved bone health, which we talk about a lot with milk and the calcium and vitamin D benefits that it has for our bones.
And again, that's Jill Williams, registered dietitian with the St. Louis District Dairy Council. And we'll continue the conversation in the days and weeks to come, as again, the entire month of June is National Dairy Month. And another state ag news here on your Wednesday. We'll quickly go back over your latest crop progress and condition numbers. They were released on Tuesday due to the shortened holiday week because of Monday, Memorial Day. Last week, there were 3.9 days suitable to work in the field, For the week ending on Sunday, May 30th, statewide in Illinois, the average temperature was 65 degrees, 1 degree below normal. Precipitation averaged just over an inch, right at normal. Topsoil moisture supply was rated at 9% very short to short, 69% adequate, and 22% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated at 16 very short to short, 71% adequate, and 13 surplus. Corn planting as of Sunday reached 95% compared to the five-year average of 84. Corn emerged from the ground is at 86% as of Sunday compared to the five-year average of 72. And the corn condition is rated at 4% very poor to poor, 16% fair, 67% good, and 13% excellent. Soybean planting reached 89% as of Sunday compared to the average of 65%. Soybean emerged from the ground as 74% compared to the five-year average of only 46. Soybean condition as of Sunday was rated 4% very poor to poor, 19% fair, 67% good, and 10% excellent. And finally, the winter wheat crop is 95% headed as of Sunday compared to the five-year average of 91. And the condition of the Illinois winter wheat crop is 4% very poor to poor, 9% fair, and 87% good to excellent. And moving along now into our local ag community bulletin board, don't forget the events coming up this weekend at the Montgomery County Bicentennial event. The Hillsboro Old Time Tractor Show will be held in conjunction this year with the Bicentennial. That show will be held this coming Saturday and Sunday at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds in Butler. Also on Saturday, the Mid-Illinois Livestock Producers will be serving ribeyes, hamburgers, and all-beef hot dogs at the event on Saturday. They'll be serving starting at 11. Also, the Montgomery County Farm Bureau and the Young Leaders will be having a booth with trivia and prizes available. That will also be on the grounds at the Bicentennial coming up on Saturday. And also don't forget, coming up next week, the 9th through the 12th, is the annual Macoupin County Fair, one of the oldest fairs in the state. And in the days to come, we'll preview the annual Macoupin County Fair, which will be next Wednesday through Saturday at the Macoupin County Fairgrounds on Route 4 north of Carlinville. And that'll wrap up your Ag News here on this Thursday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by an email at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Thursday morning, June 3rd, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.